This is Phil Ferrand. Oh, one moment. And I am driving home. We're trying something new today. I'm looking to, oh, there's the microphone. Okay, great. Test 1, 2, great. We're gonna slide this up here. I walked out of the house without my recorder. So we're going to try this. I don't have any notes. I don't have my fancy, beautiful recorder. So now we're just going to have to do this through my phone. It's been a good week. Got a lot of things accomplished. Didn't quite get everything accomplished this week that I wanted to for a variety of reasons. I was supposed to help out this week at church and sing the first line of the doxology to begin everyone in worship, then just do that from the audience, or the congregation, I guess. I caught a cold. I know exactly how I caught the cold. I knew who I caught it from. So a week ago Friday night, was it a week ago? Yes, a week ago Friday night, my wife and I were down. We were talking with the kids and visiting and sharing, and our little grandson had a cold, and he was pretty miserable. My daughter had, you know, put him down to try to get some rest, and he was doing okay, but he was fussy, and so Grammy decided that she was going to go in and cuddle with him. And I remember thinking at the time, that is not a good idea, because she was just starting to get recovered from the thing that's been hanging on to her for weeks, just started to get recovered. So she went in and cuddled, and she told me later, well, I tried to keep my face away from his, and, you know, I tried to... And me, being silly, since she had recovered, and I had recovered weeks ago, and I thought, we're all done, everything's great, we're good now, I kissed her several times between the time she went in to see my grandson and the time she actually got sick. That was about Tuesday. She got sick about Tuesday. I was starting to feel a little something. Wednesday, I went in. A week ago Wednesday. I went in, did the little thing I was supposed to do with the doxology. Everything was great. Then started coming down with it a little bit worse on Thursday and Friday. By Saturday, I knew I was in trouble. So I thought, well, I'll just sing. And I tried to do the one line of it, and it was just like, because there was so much junk. I don't even know if I can do it. Praise God from whom all. Well, okay, it's okay now. Praise. Not great, but it's okay. So I tried, but, and it was something like, I sounded like a goat. It was bad goat notes. So I had to tell Ned I'm not going to be able to do it. I had to sign my, you know, text my son-in-law. This first thing, you know, I've done for him at church. Sorry, can't do it. Great sadness. It was great sadness. We were great sadness. So I told him, sorry. So we got another choir member. He did it. That was the first thing I didn't get accomplished this last week. Second thing was, we were actually supposed to be deploying the new website this week, but we were having a few little performance issues, and we were trying to get those resolved. And at the same time, the guy who was would be working on that, there is a little single engine plane flying overhead, small little plane. I'm watching. Yeah, just a little single engine, look like single pilot plane. Must be lining up for the airport, which is just off to the east. There's a little city airport just off to the east. Must be heading to that. Anyways, so we didn't get that deployed, but cleaned up a bunch of stuff, you know, nailed some things down, made some preparations for work that needs to be done next week. So, you know, it was fine. This isn't a hard deadline anyways. And here is someone who is broken down by the side of the road, and they're going to push her out of the way. People in Springfield are really nice. If you're in trouble, and you're obviously in trouble, but they will stop and say, hey, you need anything? And people in Springfield are really nice. Anyways, so, you know, aside from that, everything's gone well. I'm just finishing up the first read-through of my new novel, my new book. I don't know if I'm pretentious enough to call it a novel, but it's my new book, and I put out the word to the people who had gotten back and contributed to the last one and said, hey, want to give you a heads up, it's coming up, are you interested? And I'm hearing back from people now and say, and everyone I've heard back from so far, of course, they're the only people who would write me, but the people I've heard back from so far go, yeah, put me on the list. So that's always nice to hear. Got a couple of more read-throughs to get through with that. Hopefully the next ones will go faster, and then got to build a cover for it. So that's coming up, and I'm using Shutterstock this time for the pictures, and you can either download two pictures for $29, and I'm going to need like 8 or 9 pictures to put this cover together, or you can pay Shutterstock, so 8 or 9 pictures, you know, at $20-$30 a piece, basically, you're looking at $120. Or you can pay Shutterstock $249 for the month, and you can download 25 pictures a day. So you know what I'm gonna do. I'm just trying to find all the possible pictures that I might ever want. And I'm just gonna, an hour a day, just sit there and download them. Boosh, 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 boosh. In fact, I may... Oh, no, I can't do that. Maybe I could go in early and just download a bunch of stuff, but... So, and hopefully get some stuff that I could use on the next cover, although I don't really know what the next cover is going to look like, but I think I can begin to approximate it, so we'll see. It'll be fun. Anyways, I have no notes. I was going today to talk about an article that was titled Sexodus Part 1. And it actually kind of dovetailed with a YouTube mini documentary that I had watched. And the idea behind Sexodus is this guy coined this term, and it's a term for men checking out of relationships and checking out of dealing with women. You know, the young crop of new men who are coming up, who have basically been told that if you compliment a girl, if you pay attention to a girl, then obviously you're a stalker or you're a rapist, who've been given all these rules and conditions under which they can conduct themselves. Men who have come up through the ranks where they were drugged up when they were in school because they were being boys, when basically everything that's being pushed towards them is, you know, they're being told they're worthless. This is what they say now. What the truth is in the eye of the beholder. Because there has been a movement, there continues to be a movement of feminism led by a wide variety of opinions in the feminist movement, and frankly, some of them are quite strident and quite vociferous and extreme in their views about men. And they've actually been gaining some traction, while at the same time gaining some traction in society while at the same time losing traction among women. So we're in this really weird time where women are reshaping culture in their own image. And I don't mean that derogatorily. It's just that it is my observation, in when we're talking in gross generalities, that, for instance, with my grandson, he's all about the figuring things out. He's at that stage now where he sets himself to a task. No one appoints him this task, but he sets himself to a task, and he goes and he figures it out. Because he's got this drive in him to figure it out. My granddaughter has some of that drive as well. But there is also a considerable drive in her to have things come to her simply as a state of being. So, you know, when she has a pretty dress on, then she likes to sway back and forth and look around and see who's looking at her. That attention comes to her as a state of being. My grandson doesn't really care about that. He's off doing something, you know. He's off accomplishing, looking, but, you know, he's not about twirling around in a circle so everybody can see how her dress, you know, goes out. And in this kind of very fundamental way, my granddaughter looks for attractiveness from her state of being, that just by her state of being, she can draw good things to her that get her farther along in life. Whereas my grandson is much more focused on going out and finding things to do and accomplishing things, whatever he wants at that moment. So when I use the term that feminists are remaking American society in their own image, what I mean to say is that American society is more conducive to being friendly to females and accommodating females. I was reading, I've got an article marked that I haven't done a podcast on yet, but the article is Understanding Women in the Workplace. And it basically goes through and tells guys how they should behave around women so that women are not uncomfortable in the workplace. Well, I'm not opposed to that, and I certainly would hope that I do not make women uncomfortable around me as I'm working with them. I get very positive feedback both from men and women that I work with, and I have found a very neutral personality point and personality place that I work from that is kind and generous and loving and merciful that seems to work well in conversing with men and women. So I'm not opposed to making adjustments. But I will guarantee you that there is no handbook out there for women as to how they should adjust their behavior to accommodate men in the workplace. It's just assumed that men are the ones that need to be making the changes. And you do see this type of attitude cascading through society. And the feminists would say, that's because men hold all the cards, and so they're the ones that have to do all the changing. Okay, well, that's a viewpoint. The upshot of all this, I should have put a bottle of water in the car because my voice is tired. The upshot of all this, however, has been for some, and I think we will see for more, that there will be men who will grow weary of this. Who will grow weary of the game, and they will just decide to check out. They will decide it's not worth the hassle of being in a relationship. Especially not when they've got video games they've got porn, they've got alcohol, and they've got hookups. You know, that when they do want to have sex, they go down to their local bar, their local meat market, and they get drunk enough with whomever that they'll go have a one-night stand with them. And that will be the sum total of their experience. In this article, the guy was talking about men who now make the claim that they've never had sober sex. That everything, all their physical encounters have been just a second because my phone has gone to sleep and I just want to make sure that we are in fact, we are. Okay, good. Because the little thing is working, so it says it's recording. I sure hope this is. You know, so they've never had sober sex. Now, of course, that's problematic in itself because the he said, she said, and you did all that. Well, he forced me and blah, blah, blah. Well, I couldn't give consent because I was drunk. I mean, that's really problematic, which, of course, would just further drive men away. But there are now trends that are building of men who are just checking out. They don't see what the point of marriage is. They don't see what the cost-benefit analysis, you know, it says in the article, they've run the cost-benefit analysis, and they just don't see the point of relationships. Now, what's interesting is that Japan has trundled down this road already. And I wanted to have some notes to tell you what the percentages were, because I didn't actually look them up, but I don't have any notes, but it was a high percentage. Japan's birth rate is plummeting because more and more young people are not getting married and they're not having children. And they showed why. The girls just really aren't that interested. The boys just really aren't that interested. And the substitute for that is in Japan, they commoditize everything. And so they've just commoditized this. That basically you can buy at whatever level you want relationships with the opposite sex. So for instance, for the women, there are, they don't call them gentleman bars, but anyways, the guys would be like modern day geisha women, except they're not dressed up like that. They're just, you know, dressed in somewhat formally. They come, the women come to these bars, the guys come over, they serve them drinks, they sit down, they talk with them, they joke, you know, they're good looking guys. The girls have their little fill of fling and teasing and enjoying that, and then everybody goes home. Done. Or, you know, I'm sure they pay a little extra and the guy will go home with them and have a little sex with them, and then they go on with their lives so that they don't have any commitments. They get some male companionship when they want it. They can turn it off when they want it. It's whatever they want. They were talking to one of these guys who does this in one of these bars. If I remember right, he said he makes $800,000 a year. And every night, he's just talking with the girls, drinking with them, making pleasant conversation, and probably doing other things. Same thing for guys. There's like, and the guy who was doing the article, or doing the little mini documentary, he said there's a whole wide range, you know, do you want just a girl to sit with you and talk with you? Well, you can find that. He said there are cuddle rooms where if you want to cuddle with a girl, and you know, and you can come in and you can negotiate the services. Do you just want a spoon? Do you just want to lay facing each other and gaze into each other's eyes? Do you want her to clean out the wax in your ears? I am not joking. You know, how do you want her to dress up? Do you want to dress her up in a maid outfit? Do you want to dress her up in cosplay outfit? What do you want? And should they, you just negotiate. You negotiate the price, and, you know, then they come do this. They aren't necessarily having sex, but they're providing a little bit of that companionship. I'm getting my mail. One moment. They're providing a little bit of that companionship that one would normally get with, you know, with a girlfriend, providing that companionship. And you just go in and you schedule and you do it on your schedule whenever you want, and it's fine. And of course, the guy wanted to see what the extreme end was of the spectrum, and so he had hired a dominatrix who, you know, tied him up and whipped him for a while. But that's available too. So, you know, it's all available. Whatever you want from the opposite sex, you can earn some money and then you can go and you can get it. This is a very interesting time that we are living in, and I don't see why I'm backing into my garage, one moment. I don't see why, with the configuration of male and female relationships as they are, that this is going to become any different in the near future. I think what we will see is we will see men and women drifting farther and farther apart, specifically among women who are empowered, who have their own jobs, who can make it on their own. I think what you will see is them having fewer and fewer children. I'm going to pick my phone up here. You will see them having fewer and fewer children. And about the only people that will have more children will be people who are on the lower end of the spectrums, or, you know, good Christian couples who still believe it's their job to repopulate the earth, which, you know, that may not be so bad, but it really does remind me of the movie Idiocracy, I think it was called Idiocracy, and the whole premise there was that all the educated people got married but didn't have children, whereas all the uneducated people kept having children, and so eventually they outnumbered the educated people, and the entire society, you know, basically went downhill. It could be that they weren't far off, but that in fact what's going to happen is that the educated people will not only not have children, they will not even have relationships where they're getting married, which, you know, that's a pretty interesting result. It's just going to be fascinating to watch all this. There is a part two to this article, and I may go ahead and do part two next week, because they interview some real live examples of guys who have just said, you know what, we're done. And I may find some interesting stuff to talk about in there. We'll see. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home. And next week, I'll hope to bring my actual recorder so we have better sound. See you, bye.